service recorded. Last month I forgot to push record. This month I did not. So just a couple of things. Let's get some businessy stuff out of the way and then be able to just talk about teaching and learning for a bit. But with the end of the semester coming up, just a few housekeeping items. One of those is the assessment. I highly recommend that you try doing the online version. Does that give anyone just extreme anxiety? And you're like, I don't want to do the computer. Because you don't have to do the online version if you don't want.
I'm going to do it during class with everybody's, but not everybody has a device.
But taking a test day and saying do it at home or do it over a weekend? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally okay. So that's, in fact,
that so sounds... So the links on here are super long. I thought we could just go to la.ldschurch.
Right? You can, yep. Okay. I think what Shelley gave you were links to, like, the instructions for it and
maybe,
something else.
I'm not sure.
But yeah, so how you get to it is LA stands for learningassessment.ldschurch.org. And then I believe you will have to click on your stake. It's gonna ask me to sign in again. Okay. And I did make sure that I knew my password, because remember last month I couldn't log in. That was so embarrassing. It's the same password as last month. It's just actually working this time. So make sure, and I don't know why if this does this just to me or if it will do it to you as well, but it has term 2 always selected. Make sure you select term 1. And then, I know that's so hard to see. Would you mind hitting the light? And then I will...
Yeah, there you go. Old lady ice is what I call it. I need it
before. Okay. So we'll say give assessment. So you click the checkbox next to your class, and then click up here, give assessment. Now, if you want to make sure that all of your all the gremlins are out and that people can do it, I'd like to recommend there's this doctrinal mastery cumulative review. This isn't anything that is actually graded, but if you'd like to give your students some confidence in using the online tool. They can also check, you know, how much of this do I actually know. Give this doctrinal mastery cumulative review. I'll show you what it looks like. Pull this down. It's just, which scripture passage teaches, look unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not. Yeah. And it just gives the first 12 doctrinal mastery scriptures that the assessment is going to ask about. It just quizzes on those. And you can give this multiple times, and it generates new questions each time. So, but I would use this just so you can say, hey, we're going to be doing the assessment. I want us to do it online. I want to make sure that you can get in. So if you wouldn't mind, here's just kind of a trial run. Again, this doesn't get graded or anything like that. But it can let your students know, ooh, maybe I need to know some more of my doctrinal mastery scriptures. And if they don't know them, it'll say which ones you missed, and they only have to do it once or twice, and then they'll probably be able to learn a little bit more.
And something like that you could send home with them over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, just in an email say, oh, let me tell you about that. So how do you make sure that when it's time to take the assessment, that the actual assessment shows up? And not this Doctrinal Mastery Cumulative Review. Click on the box, come down here to Doctrine and Covenants 1-75 in Joseph Smith History, with belief and apply, without belief and apply. Those are the questions, the belief and apply questions are, what do you believe about this? How often do you pray? I mean, they're very personal. You can choose to have your students participate with those as well. You will never get individuated answers. On the report, it will not tell you who said what about the belief and apply questions. It will give you general, here's how many of your students said this, here's how many of your students said that. It's a lot of good information, but it's not part of the graded assessment. Does that make sense? So that's why the different options are there. If you want to see what the belief and apply questions look like here, I'll just pop it up. So stuff like... I am a beloved son or daughter of Heavenly Father. I don't know if this is true, sort of believe, or know this is true. How much do you care about this doctrine? It's not important all the way up to it's very important. and it's just a self-assessment that they can put in there.
So if but we will find out the cumulative answers.
Correct.
So I've got 9 kids. I'll find out 5 of them answered this, 2 mm-hmm. of them answered this, mm-hmm. 1 of them answered this.
Yep.
So how?
But no names attached.
How did you get it right here for yourself? Because I see you had all those kids checked right there, mm-hmm. and that's where I got lost.
Okay. So what you do is I'm clicking this preview assessment button right here. Now, if I wanted to make this available so that when the students log in, then I would hit enable online assessment. This is what makes the assessment live. So you can only have one tool live at one time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if tomorrow you were to say, over the weekend, I want you to try the cumulative review. So you'd have to click on this one and then click enable assessment. When they log in, they would see that and they wouldn't see anything else.
When they log into what?
To la.ldschurch.org. Yeah.
Oh,
yep. So it's the same for everybody. Okay. It knows to show seminary teachers this tool. It knows to show seminary students just whatever online assessment you've made live.
Okay.
And if you don't want to mess with it, you can just print the answer packet, print the assessment. You can do it on paper if you want to. And there is a way to use an app to scan it all in and whatnot, and you can still get the results that way, but last year it didn't work very well. Did anybody try to print and scan?
I did the first semester, and yeah.
It's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
But they're trying. They're trying.
And, you know, actually, you may run into some problems
mm-hmm.
with getting the test results too. They may not come back completely accurately if you're scanning.
Yeah.
So will they need their membership number, or will this site already know that?
So here in Sister Bond's class, you can see all of the students here with a yes underneath LDS account, this column.
Mm-hmm.
These are the students who are all ready to go. So we have Sister Bond's class.
Because they gave that when they registered for seminary?
Correct. It automatically attaches their LDS account to the seminary student if they have one.
Okay.
So we have 2 students in her class that don't have an account, and before they can participate, they'll need to get with the ward clerk, find out their record, and register.
I see.
At LDS.org to get that. Okay? Another good one is this doctrinal topics question. So like Sister Trump was talking about, we want to make sure that our kids know not just where or what the doctrinal masteries are, but do they actually know what the doctrines themselves are? So who will be resurrected? I don't see a Hitler option on here.
He's knocked out.
So, and actually it doesn't matter what I check on this one. It always gives me the same just because this is a dummy thing. But they can go through and see how well they know the doctrines, and it's just a very basic, just basic questions, and if they know them or not. But
so is this the real test, or is this a
quiz?
Just
a pre-quiz if they want to know how they're doing, and if you want to know how the students are doing. Now that's the long version, and if you saw on the drop down, there is a short version, and you can do that if you want to. The short version is about half. Oops. I'm pushing wrong things. 28 questions. Was that half? A little more than half. Anyway, the short version's still pretty long. But those tools are there, and if you do want to try the online version, I highly recommend that you take a trial run with one of these. Just over the weekend, say, try this, make sure that you can log in, make sure that you see the assessment, see how you do, and let's talk about it on Monday. And you'll be able to see in this screen right here, how many times they tried it, what their score was, and so just some options.
Does the site know that you told them to do it by Monday?
It doesn't. Yeah, so as far as that goes, you have control over when you enable the assessment,
mm-hmm.
and if you want to take it away, you can hit the disable button as well. So disable's the one clear over here. But let's say, you know, so we're Buffalo Grove, this stake is ending our semester by the end of December. And so you may want to enable the online assessment clear till the end of December. If you're going to do it in class with the holiday, I don't know quite how you're going to do that. But I would probably just leave the online assessment enabled clear till the end of the semester. And I mean, because if they want to go take it again and again and again, I guess you can. Otherwise, you have to print out a new assessment for them if they want to retake it. And I think there are 4 different print versions. They all ask pretty much the same thing, just using different verbiage to keep it viable. Mike?
So just, I mean, if the kids just can't get through it.
Do it. Well, you tell me, what could you do? There's someone who just can't get 75% completion.
Can I tell you what I've done before? Is I've had some kids with special needs and they couldn't get through it. And I've actually had them, met with them and their parents and sat down and gone through it question by question. And what I did is we just kind of filled out. Only the ones that they missed were the ones that I made them go over. And
I don't have any kids with special needs. I just got one or two who they're engaged in person, people only because their parents are making them.
Uh-huh.
So I'm worried. I just don't want this to become a detriment to
them
going.
That's what President Monson, when this whole thing rolled out, he was worried. He said, we don't want to lose any students over the assessment.
Yeah.
This is not meant to be a cudgel. It's a tool. It should be a learning experience, not just a hoop to jump through.
Because obviously, I mean, if we give it and we have, even if you have one kid fail, don't get 75, which we probably shouldn't use that term. Do we work as a whole class? Do we work individually with that kid? Is there best practices here?
So part of what that link that Shelley gave, there is a best practices thing there.
Okay. Gone through that, obviously.
Yeah, it's fine. What I have seen, though, is having students work with other students has probably yielded the best results where someone's struggling. Parents working with their children, youth leaders working with a student who's struggling. Those have probably been the best 3 resolutions to someone who just can't seem to get through there, because they see I'm not in this alone. People do want to help me succeed. And it's not meant to be a gotcha.
And also, I probably misspoke because I said that we took Wednesday off and corrected it Thursday. I think we went all the way till Monday to correct it so that I could see the kids who were struggling and I could work with them over the weekend.
Yeah,
and then by Monday, we were able to...
Yeah, I was just because of these kids, some have so many activities.
Mm-hmm.
To say that, hey, you have to do it on Wednesday night.
No.
I mean, they might have a soccer game, band practice, and to play that night for all.
I mean, for most of them, they actually did it on Tuesday during their lunch break or something like that. Because we talked about it Tuesday morning. Wednesday was the day off of seminary. We were coming back Thursday.
What's this day off of seminary you speak of?
I mean,
let's dwell on that.
It was the test day.
Oh, okay.
Day off the test.
Yeah, well, and that's what one of the other best practices is, you know, we're not having seminary tomorrow. Still wake up at the same time, do the assessment when you would be here. And I've seen...
And laugh that anybody's actually going to
do. Well, you can see when they take it. And actually, a lot of that happens for a lot of them.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
So,
huh.
You said about leaving it up all over Christmas break.
Shocked.
Is it okay to come back in January to review it, or is that not a good thing?
Well, so we need to have the results of the assessment entered hopefully 2 weeks into January. So it's meant to be a part of the first semester experience. So that would be preferred, but I'm not going to get all big brotherish and say, don't do it in January. I'll let Shelley do that if she wants to.
Maybe the review would help kids help each other, too,
mm-hmm.
if they had the review before Christmas break, and then some kids needed to retake it. The other kids knew the answers could guide them.
Yeah.
I've been using the weekly reviews.
They're helpful.
The site, yeah, and I just put them in a PowerPoint and we do it as a class.
Okay.
But that would be a shorter way to test the system because those questions, there's only 4 or 5 questions.
There's 5 questions a week, yep.
Instead of 38 questions,
I remember. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so that's the assessment part. And then over when we talk about, you know, recording the results, I will make you a handy video so you don't have to try and remember all of this. I'll send a video link out. But when you go and record your results, it does not ask, excuse me, what questions they got wrong, what questions they got right. We'll just keep picking on Sister Bond's class. Find your class, load into it, and then it's the gradebook tab over here. And you just enter here in the test box whatever percentage they got right. And so let's say you've been working with a student, you know, maybe they didn't get 75%, and then you do just help them with those few that they missed, and you feel good about putting anything over 75 in there, that's fine. Again, not meant to be a cudgel. This is meant to be a learning experience. Don't use this to beat our kids up with. That's not what it was intended to be.
Wait, I missed where you found the grade that you put in that
so,
box.
So gradebook, you click on gradebook up here.
Yeah.
And then where it says test, this is where you'd enter 75.
Well, where did you find that a kid got 75? On the first page?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so back here after they take it, it'll say test attempts, score. It'll give you a percentage right there. Yep. And if they do it online, it automatically transfers over to the gradebook. But you can go in there and alter.
You can override it.
You can override it. Yep. Yeah, it's not a hard, fast thing in there.
You don't have to sit and take the test with them online.
Yeah. So what we're looking for is you'll see this credit column. It all says no. This will only change to yes once all of the attendance has been entered for the entire semester. And if they have over 75% attendance, and if in reading they have the reading finished and the test is over 75%, then credit magically changes to yes. So that's what we're trying to do when Sister Trump and I start asking, hey, we need your attendance, we need your results for the first semester. We want to try to get to yes. Now, if that is just entirely overwhelming and it doesn't be like, I just can't do it, send Camille a list of here are the students who get credit, here are the students who don't get credit. And Camille and I will take care of it for you. Okay? We have time. Camille has hours. She gets paid to do stuff like this. It's nice for teachers to know how students are doing, just because then you can see how the reading is going and what their actual attendance percentages are and whatnot. But don't get bogged down in the technical logistics. We can do that for you.
I mean, as far as the reading, they're supposed to read up through DNC 76 by the end of that semester.
I'd say, yeah. So.
Right, because that's what the test is mm-hmm. up to.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm. Now, the requirement is that they finish the Doctrine and Covenants and Joseph Smith history by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And so maybe there's somebody who didn't do any reading at all, and they're like, oh, I'm going to do it all in March. We can go back and change it, but we had a lot of students who didn't get certificates because teachers forgot to say, oh, we had to go back and put the reading in for the first semester. And it just kind of, it would be nice if teachers can do everything you can to get that credit column to change from no to yes. That way we can shepherd our students and make sure they're getting credit they deserve.
So yes. You're saying we should not change the read column until I've actually done the reading, or if they say they're going to do it, we can go ahead and do it and then take it off of the next semester if they...
I will say...
okay.
I don't think you should do it until
however you want.
It is hard to go back into a previous locked semester.
I mean, best practice would be that they're reading as we go,
yes.
But I'm going to leave that one in your court, because different people like to do it different ways. Okay? Enough about that. Questions, concerns, comments, criticisms?
She was asking me how to find the weekly review. Will you show her?
Yeah, you bet. So again, it's back here. The website is la.ldschurch.org. And then you click on your class, you click on Give Assessment, and then in this box where it says Assessments, this drop-down, you can come down. And so here's the first semester assessment. Here's the second semester assessment. Here's a pre-assessment. If you want to do a pre-assessment, you can do that with your students. What week are we on? I don't even know.
A week a lot.
A week a lot.
We just finished 12 last week.
Okay, so let's do we'll go to 12. Oh, see, now it's being silly. Okay, so click on gotta go to term one. Click on the class, give assessment, choose week 12. Okay, now preview assessment, start. See, it's five questions. And again, when they log in on a phone or a tablet or a computer, it's all, it looks real slick on a phone, actually. And they just click it and hit next, click it, hit next, and it lets them know how many they got.
Well, will you show them how to do the hard copy, though?
Sure. Please. Yep. The hard copy works this way. Is you just, you click print assessment over here, and then you can, you know, just click print up here in the corner, and it just gives you a multiple choice, 5 questions.
Because I use those with station work sometimes, so it's easy for them to just have one sheet, and then they mark their answers on the separate.
Yep.
Sheet for
stations. So lots of, I am not jealous of whoever in Salt Lake has to program all of this, but glad they have a job.
So the biggest hang-up is if they don't have an LDS.
Right. Not having an LDS account locks them out of this entire system.
Yeah.
So, but they, hopefully we're getting the word out that there's more and more going on LDS.org. All the family search stuff is there. Indexing uses your, you know, all of that. So.
But theoretically, I've been told there's a way for non-members to also
yes.
do this.
Yes, there
I
is.
I was not able to get that to work at all from my
Yeah,
call.
Last year. I was able to only after we'd called the support desk and said, hey, I've got twin sisters whose dad won't let them get baptized. They've been coming to seminary for 4 years. They want to do the online assessment, make it work.
Yeah.
And they did whatever magic they did.
So can you
happened.
Forward that to us? Because I have a non-member.
Mm-hmm. Well, just the support number?
Or how I can do that? Or do you have to call them?
I had to call them and say, how can you make this work? But email me. And Camille and I can work on that for you. And so that you can have our non-members participate. We don't want them to feel second class. Okay. Sorry for all the nuts and bolts, but that's kind of what we have to do in November because we don't meet in December and we don't meet January and February. So we won't do this again until March. Is that okay with you? Yes, because it takes a great meeting to beat no meeting. I know that, so... but we will have our symposium in January. I would. The.
That sounds fancy. Is it like this, but fancy?
Yeah, it's super fancy. So we do a Saturday long training in January.
Do you have a date on that?
I do. Yeah, it'll be at the Woodridge Building. I will send Sister Trump a flyer for it. But it will be January the 19th. From 9 o'clock until 3 o'clock. Come for as much or as little of it as you can. But we gather in seminary teachers from the entire region. We get my colleagues from all over the region as well, and we try to make a big day out of it. We're hoping to get Elder Scott to come speak to us. Not Richard G. Dead's Elder Scott. But Elder K. David caught
if you
Scott.
Can promise
yeah.
him
hey, shoot for the stars, land on the moon.
Right? Yeah. So see who we can get. January 19th, Woodridge. We found that's the easiest for people to get to because it is right off of the freeway. We tried doing this last year in the city. That didn't work well.
I liked it.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Well, that's right, because you took the train in and had a great time.
It was great.
Yeah, everybody else was like, we hate coming into
the
city.
The time.
9 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
In Woodridge?
Woodridge, Illinois.
201 Woodridge Drive.
Yep, that's it. Okay.
And then in February, there's generally a faith.
February, we will have an evening with a general authority broadcast, and I would just encourage you to watch that on your own. You'll get information about it. It's usually on a Friday evening. That will be our January and February trainings. I don't want to try to double up on those. Just we'll let those go. And then we'll meet again in March, talk graduation in April, and then no meeting in May because, that's when we graduate. So that's that. Questions about logistics, grades, assessment, meetings... Okay, good.
I have just one question.
Sure.
I mean, I've got kids who are coming all year who I fear might not finish the reading.
Mm-hmm.
They get nothing and like it?
They will get, so there are different awards. There is a an attendance award that those who come 75%,
right.
They can get that.
I'm talking credit-wise.
Credit-wise, if you don't finish the reading, you don't get credit for that semester. Yes, they can.
And they can make it up when they're brushing their teeth, when they're eating dinner.
Yes, and we can always go back
really
and say, you know, if it takes them all summer long to finish, we can go back and put it in.
I just had one of my students from last year who emailed me last week and said she just finished reading the Book of Mormon. So now she gets credit for the year because she just finished reading the Book of Mormon.
Okay, I don't think we made that clear to our kids. Maybe they knew, and
I think the older ones knew.
Good news is church history is the shortest reading.
Yeah.
Make sure your parents know.
Of any.
Yeah, I just.
While they're eating dinner, or while they're driving to seminary, put it on their phone.
Yep. So.
All of those are wonderful. I have.
Right. Yeah. I have found that usually when it comes up to graduation, if we just remind them through March, April, hey, we need to get the reading done, they still put it off and then do a whole bunch at the end. Not ideal,
and
but
some kids may,
it's doable.
Some kids just may
just
not
home
be
from school
able to
just
do it.
Stayed home and just listened all day long? Well, takes all kinds.
Don't know what she's doing when she was listening.
My daughter's
yeah. Holiday
and
road trips.
Set it up like times two, you know? I'm like, how can you pay attention
yeah.
to that?
Yeah. Okay. Let's do some church history. I don't have a piece of chalk.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I think I do.
I'll see if I can find something.
Who was in charge of that last?
I've got a bunch in my car. We might have some. Maybe it's okay if you don't. So it sounds like most everybody is about churches moved to Ohio. Has Joseph Smith identified Zion in Jackson County? Okay, not yet. So some are. So it sounds like we're kind of straddling about that time. Well, you'll remember that a number of early church leaders, they get called on the mission to the Lamanites. Remember that one? How many Lamanites do they baptize?
Zero.
There's that darn... Oh, yes, I love this thing. Thank you. It's my favorite. I need to get one of these. So the church is organized up here in New York. They go on a mission to the Lamanites. It looks like there are some of the tribes who are interested in what's going on, but there's that United States agent who says, you don't have a license to preach to the Indians, so you need to go away. But what do they find? They don't baptize a whole lot of Lamanites, but remember who they do find?
Isaac Morley and the church there.
The Campbellites.
Campbellites.
Yeah. So Alexander Campbell was a restorationist preacher.
And Sidney Rigdon.
And Sidney Rigdon ran a Campbellite church with a congregation of upward, 200 plus individuals. And so they come through, they're in the Kirtland area. They meet Sidney Rigdon. They meet Thomas B. Marsh. Sorry, I just used all of your chalk.
Push it down a little bit
more. Okay, I'm going to have to give you a box of chalk.
No, you're okay. I should keep that. I don't use it.
Really?
Uh-huh. I don't use it.
It's made my life.
I'm going to take that tape.
No, I'm going to leave your name on there, too.
Okay,
remember where it came from. So they meet this whole congregation, and all of a sudden, we have just about 100 members of the church up here in New York. They've just more than doubled their congregation size by baptizing Sidney Rigdon. Thomas B. Marsh doesn't get baptized yet. He wants to go meet the prophet's family and see if they run an orderly farm.
Yeah.
I thought that was a curious requirement for, I don't know if this is true. What's your fence look like? Something to that.
Don't look at my house.
What?
I said, don't look at my house.
Yeah, really. But, so Sidney Rigdon and Thomas B. Marsh, they go back up to meet the prophet in New York, Pennsylvania. Well, what's going on back down here in Kirtland?
They go wayward.
They're preaching in their church.
They are. They're preaching in their church. And they're feeling the enthusiasm of, we've got new scripture. There's a new prophet here again. They're feeling something. And where does that energy go?
Mrs. Hubble and Hiram Page kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
Acting
like monkeys.
It goes a little bizarre. Here we'll have. Read this paragraph for us. Some of the saints in Kirtland.
Some of the saints in Kirtland took their beliefs to wild extremes, reveling in what they took to be gifts of the Spirit. Several people claimed to have visions they could not explain. Others believed the Holy Ghost made them slide or scoot across the ground. One man bounced around rooms or swung from ceiling joists whenever he thought he felt the Spirit. Another acted like a baboon.
Sound like your class?
Maybe you should read it to
him. Be like, guys, you're acting like a bunch of monkeys. They're just like, Kirtland, hello. Eventually, Joseph, he takes Emma. She's pregnant with twins at the time. She wasn't going to make the trip, but eventually she does. There may be some indication that arduous journey. Remember, she loses her first child. She's pregnant with twins. They make the journey. Some of that could have been why she loses those twins as well. Sad story. But they get back down to Kirtland, and they need to put the wheels back on this spirituality. Now, it's been fun to be in some of your classes, seeing all good things. The report I get from Sister Trump is that, you know, seeing lots of good things. And it's interesting because we tend to have classes that talk a ton and classes that talk, like, not at all. And where do you think those extremes come from? Well, grab your scriptures, go to Doctrine and Covenants section 50. Okay? Now, not that section 50 will answer the question as to why do some classes talk a ton and some don't talk at all, but there are good and bad things about both kinds of classes. Let's just pick on the blessings of having a class that talks too much. What's good about that while you're going to section 50? Why would you want a class that just loves to chat?
Because they're not afraid to speak up.
Okay? Anything else?
They occasionally say profound things.
Just based on volume, it's bound to happen. Okay? Any other reasons you'd want to over talkative class?
Well, you know how they feel, so you can tailor your lessons to what they've been bringing up.
Yeah, the feedback is very easy to get. Okay? Why would you want to... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, 1 year I had a class that wouldn't talk at all because they didn't like each other.
Yeah, that's tough.
That was a really hard year to teach.
Well, so let's focus on what might be a nice thing about a class that doesn't talk a whole lot. Are there any blessings to that?
No.
I prefer a circus to a focus group, too.
Me too.
But are there blessings to a quieter class?
Not for me. I mean, you might be able to have the Spirit in a different way because they could be contemplating more.
Could be.
Journaling or silent lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You can be very accurate on how long your lesson is.
You can get through everything you want to get through. Okay. Well, here in section 50, you'll see there in the section heading, it makes reference to the things we've just been talking about. But then we go down to verses, I think it's 17 and 18. And through Joseph Smith, the Lord has some things to say about teaching and learning. Can we get our nice Australian accent in the back to read for us for a bit?
Okay,
section 50, verses 17 and 18.
Verily I say unto you, he that is ordained of me and sent forth to preach the word of truth by the Comforter, in the spirit of truth, doth he preach it by the spirit of truth or in some other way? And if it be by some other way, it is not of God.
Let's talk for a minute and see if we can identify. This would be easy for us to point our fingers out there or to sliding around on the floor. What are some of the ways you have felt tempted to teach your lessons in some other way?
Just watch videos.
What's
there's
the
so many great church videos
yeah,
out
there.
Are it's so
many.
Tempting to just...
Just outsource it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, so we've got a video, and good church-produced videos. What would the difference be where that is teaching by the Spirit of truth, and what would make that some other way?
The reason behind doing it.
And so what might the reason be?
If you're doing it just because you can't deal with the lesson that day, and you're like, just watch a video and let's be done with it. I would say that is some other way.
Okay.
If you're doing it because you feel like it's an important message that's going to add to your lesson that they can benefit from, because sometimes I read those, look at those videos, and I'm like, there's so many good things in here. I don't want them to have to watch the whole thing, though. And I get about 2 seconds into it, and I'm like, yeah, nope, they got to watch the video. Because you just can't say it the way that they say
yeah.
it, and with the conviction, you know what I
oh,
mean?
I
like,
hear
you watch Elder Holland sometimes speak, and he just has this conviction about him
mm-hmm.
that you can't duplicate.
Yeah.
And so I think that intention matters a lot.
Okay, intention.
Yeah,
now,
like, why are you, what's the intention behind this?
Well, you're early morning seminary teachers who have chosen to come to an extra meeting on a Thursday night, so hearts are probably in a pretty good spot, my guess.
I think the temptation for me is, wow, this video was great for me. I got a lot out of this video, so you guys are going to get a lot out of it, and forgetting to think, wait, okay, these are teenagers who are tired. Are they really going to get anything out of it?
Okay. So videos might be some other, I mean, it's going to boil down to what are we trying, are we asking the Holy Ghost, is this what I should be doing? What are some other temptations, some other ways that you sometimes feel tempted to
make
use?
It more fun? That's
just
that's
turn the
they,
fun knob
that's
up.
That's what they ask for, you know? And
yeah.
So
yeah. Fun and food.
And food, yeah.
You know what? As a teacher, it's depressing. Is it graduation when they say, what are your favorite memories? Have you ever
breakfast.
Read one time where they said, the most spiritual lesson that Sister Trump taught was blah, blah. No, they say all the fun ones. Right?
Yeah, they do.
They never once mention, so it's tempting to have something fun.
So what might that some other way motivation be? I want to make...
You want to keep their attention.
Okay.
You
want them to like you.
I want
yeah.
to be liked. I want them to be entertained. I want to make the Steak Seminary program. I'll admit, we when I was teaching out west, we would have a senior testimony meeting at the end of the year, and it was quite a boost to your ego when you had kids get up there and just praise you all night long. I can love this night. This is great. It wasn't very righteous, but... What other methods? And maybe let's move out for a minute. Let me tell you a story. Have I told this group my dad's experience having the hippie preacher in San Diego use the Steak Center for a world conference? Okay, that one would sound familiar if you'd heard it. So my dad was a missionary, San Diego, California. And he was in the mission office. It was just he and the mission president, his companion, and some of the other office staff had something to do. So my dad was sitting there at the front desk. Mission president was on a phone call in his office. As my dad describes it, I'd only be telling you this story because I heard it from him. But this very hippie-looking street preacher walks in, and long story short, he asks my dad if he can use the neighboring Steak Center for his church's world conference. My dad's like, no, this weird hippie guy off the street, you can't use our Steak Center, get out of here. So the guy takes off. Mission president comes out. Elder Judd, what was that? And he says, oh, some guy came in off the street and he wanted to use the Steak Center for his world church conference. Well, what did you say? I told him to get lost. He said, Elder Judd, I want you to go find that man, apologize to him, and invite him to my house for dinner tonight. You're cooking. It's not great. So he finds him. I was short with you. I apologize. Mission president would like to meet you tonight at his house cooking spaghetti. You want to come? So... they go there for dinner. They get talking. This man was a, came out of, it was kind of a hippie version. This was in the mid-70s. Kind of a Pentecostal, you know, speak in tongues, roll around on the floor. Kind of take that mixed with some drugs and rock and roll. That's kind of what their version of Christianity was. And so he says, you know, here's what we want to do. Can we use your building? And the mission president says, yeah. I'll let you use the mission. I'll let you use the building on three conditions. One, you can't use the chapel, but you can use the cultural center. Two, my missionaries will be the ushers at all of the entrances and exits. And three, I get to be the concluding speaker.
Yeah.
So the guy's like, all right, sounds great. So the day comes, mission president has elected a lot of his most gregarious missionaries. They are there to help, and semis start pulling up to the parking lot, and they throw open the backs, and it's just lights and amps and speakers and microphones and guitars and drums. And the missionaries are, what are we doing here? We're defiling our church. But they load it in, and the mission president, you know, just kind of sits there, nods his head at everything, and yep, help them out, do what they want. So he gets them all in there. They load up the thing. Opening song is Jesus Is Just All Right by the Doobie Brothers. You want to sing it for us, Mike?
No, I know most of the words, but I want to sing.
Well, the words are pretty easy. Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Oh, yeah. Jesus is just all right by me. Jesus is just all right. Oh, yeah. Pretty tough, right? Like a primary song. They do that. The preacher, there was a, you know, lots of singing, lots of dancing, speaking in tongues, hands raised. There was a tradition that when this prophet would get up and speak, he had holy water and he would flick it out. And if you were touched by the holy water, then you were supposed to stand up on your chair and speak in tongues or get down on the ground and roll around. So very exuberant expression of whatever they were feeling. Preacher gives his, or the prophet, he gives his message, and then he goes and he takes his water and he like puts it on everybody. And then he comes back up to the stage and he sits down next to the president, mission president, and he says, okay, you're up. So mission president gets up, looks over the congregation, just stands there for a while, and it's just pandemonium. People speaking in tongues, rolling around on the floor, the band's playing. Just looks over the congregation for a while, and then he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command the spirit of man to depart and the spirit of the Lord to enter. Now, notice, he didn't tell the spirit of the devil to leave. What did he call on?
Spirit of man.
Spirit of man. What's that? Good or bad? Okay. And the natural man is an enemy to God if he yields not to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Last concert somebody's been to here. Backstreet Boys?
You too?
How was that?
Outstanding.
Did you feel something?
Yes, a lot. It was awesome.
Did you cry?
No.
Well, I do. I've played in rock and roll bands since I was 14. There's just something to that. I love, and when I lived in this city, I mean, it was hard to keep me away. There's a blues bar up the street from where I teach my Tuesday Night Institute class. It's hard not to say, honey, I'm talking with a student. Anyway, I always tell her afterward, but that, I love that. I really, really do. But if that spirit of enthusiasm can get in the way of the spirit of the Lord, we can be living our lives seeking after some other way. Sometimes with our youth programs, we have to be careful that we're not trying to emotionally manipulate students into, do you have a testimony yet? Are you feeling it yet? Are you crying yet? That can be pretty dicey. What are some of the other ways that you've seen us use with youth in the church that may not, maybe they're well-intentioned, but perhaps not the spirit of truth? And this isn't guess what's on my mind. I've been curious to hear what you come up with.
Analogies that have been used in Young Women's when I was growing up that have countered everything that I felt like God was trying to tell me about, like, you know, the chewed up gum kind of thing.
Yeah. And sometimes because, well, that's what I heard and it had an effect, and so I'm going to perpetuate that. We've got to be real careful with tradition. Tradition can be one of those other ways. I mean, it's the same thing. You can put videos, traditions, emotional experiences. They can go kind of one of two directions. Anything else?
Not letting them ask questions, any questions, I think is important. They can. No, there's nothing. No off base. Anything you want to talk about, we'll talk about it. Whenever you want to.
I think a blind expectation of follow. Like, here's what we're saying.
Just do it now.
So believe me. Trust me. I know.
Well, and if you've earned that, that's one thing.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know that any... I mean, I think that finding out for yourself is so much more powerful than following somebody else. You know? And one of the things that, like, so... One thing I hear a lot from people is, so-and-so made me mad, so I quit going to church. Mm. And this person, so I quit going to church. And it just bugs me because I just keep thinking your relationship with your Heavenly Father is a two-person thing. And you can't feed anybody their testimony or pour it on them. It has to be earned. And so I think that that's one thing that, you know, when you say, just follow me, no. Find out for yourself. Is this what you think is right? Is this what you think you should follow? Because that's much more powerful than anything else. So I think that that's one thing I notice a lot is that you have to do this because this is what we say.
Yeah, just do the script.
Yeah.
Now, the script is pretty good and can bring some pretty good blessings.
It can.
But it can get in the way and short circuit the whole process if it's just constantly, so you got a testimony yet? Do you believe all this yet? Come on, what's going on? It can get tough. Let's look at, this isn't just a teacher thing though. Next two verses. Ready, Sister Eager?
Sure.
Keep reading for us?
Yep.
All right, I've got 7 minutes. We'll wrap it up. Verses 19 and 20.
Okay. And again, he that receiveth the word of truth, doth he receive it by the spirit of truth or some other way? If it be some other way, it is not of God.
What attitudes or other ways have you experienced in your students that gets in the way of them picking up the spiritual experience that you're trying to help them have?
Sarcasm.
Really?
Yeah.
Never. Now, sarcasm can be fun, but you let that go. And the humor and the I'm making this all about meanness, it can really get in the way. Okay, gotta watch out for that.
Peer pressure.
Again, peer pressure for good or for bad. Mm-hmm. But that really has to do with the type of environment we've created in our class, the direction that peer pressure will go.
Sometimes when we're going over doctrinal masteries, kids will get kind of upset or feel like there's a competitive nature about it, so they'll just give up and not try to learn. So.
I don't do it as well as this person.
Mm-hmm. So they won't.
I'm out.
Try. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this kind of defeatist or competitive attitude.
Or the ones who are good at it, like, come on, you guys on my team, why don't you know these?
Yeah.
You should know this by now.
The same one ends up on top in Kahoot all the time.
Yeah.
The rest of them.
It would drive me crazy when I was teaching release time. We had one teacher who really put a premium on make sure you read your scriptures every day, and she would check every day. And I started to notice, I would go over to the school. So I got to teach seminary where I went to high school. So it was like I had dual citizenship. It was great. And so I'd just go over in the halls of the high school and I would see a lot of these kids who would consistently show up late to her class because they hadn't read and they didn't want to ruin the class's scripture reading streak. Now, that's a pretty righteous desire, have students read their scriptures every day. But again, sometimes the cart can get ahead of the horse. And we've got to help students receive with the spirit of truth to understand this is why we're doing things. We're not just doing the program to fulfill the program. There's meaning, and there are reasons behind all this. So, not cynicism. Sarcasm. This sense of I'm not good as everybody else. Anything else that you feel like sometimes gets in the way of students being able to. Just the logistics of life, right?
Or they're so busy.
Do any of you have any tips for creating that good class atmosphere where you've seen, I know it is, it's tough, but have any of you seen anything that does help kind of pave the road to get rid of homework, to get rid of, I don't know, well, you're saying class attendance was good and then it's not?
Well, we went from essentially 100% to 50%, and now we're back to nearly 100% again. I think it was just weeks had got caught up with them, and they were tired, and sports had started, and plays had started. I think it all seemed to be back.
Yeah.
But they're busy. I mean, I've got one young man who's barely engaged, and his select soccer just started. And he has games that end in Naperville at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, yikes.
He's not going to be at seminary the next morning. His parents have made it clear to me. I don't blame him. He's not getting home till nearly midnight.
Yeah.
And So life just going to get in the way. And unfortunately, he's one who really hasn't engaged when he is in class. So I worry about it.
Yeah.
I worry about how we're going to get him back. When he was here all the time, he wasn't fully engaged, and now he's going to be here 2-3 days a week and probably be more tired on top of it. It's going to be a struggle with him.
I wish I could just say, here's the magic bullet to solve all of that. Okay, well, there is one. To preach and to receive by the Spirit of truth. That's what works. Now, well, what exactly does that look like? I can't tell you. But I can tell you is I try to petition, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's the only silver bullet I've ever seen work. And it doesn't work all the time, because sometimes, you know, the Lord says, well, you figure it out. I'm thinking of the brother of Jared's experience where, you know, maybe the Lord says, you figure it out, but then I forget to take it up the mountain and ask the Lord to touch it. I'm just like, oh, I got these rocks. Those rocks by themselves didn't do anything until God touched them. And so we may have things come to our mind. I'm going to use this video, Lord. Or I'm going to do this class activity, Lord. To ask the Lord to touch these things. When I was an EFY counselor, I remember having a really cool experience with a group 1 week. And so I was on to teach the next week. And so I thought, well, it worked 1 week. I'll just do it again. Spiritual truths and spiritual learning you can't just plug in and get a desired result out. It is something that requires genuine effort and petition of the Lord each and every time. Now, that can be exhausting. We're like, can I just figure it out once and just rinse and repeat over and over and over and over and over? You know, Mike's going to go home and get his lesson ready tonight somehow. And I hope that what we do is we do those things is, Lord, I don't have a whole lot of time. And I've really seen, sometimes it's the best when I get a call at 4:30 in the morning. Brother Jed, I can't find a sub. Can you come teach my class? Okay. And the Lord honors that effort. I didn't have any time to prepare. And so you can just kind of, those work out. And the times I found out it doesn't work is when I have like months to prepare and I don't take that time seriously. It doesn't quite work out. Anyway, I'm kind of talking all over the place. But let's just finish up verses 21 and 22. Therefore, why is it that ye cannot understand and know that he that receiveth the word by the Spirit of truth receiveth it as it is preached by the Spirit of truth? Wherefore, he that preacheth and he that receiveth understand one another, and both are edified and rejoice together. If you have that feeling in class that participation, it can lean to the Spirit of truth if we as teachers are maintaining control of their participation and of their talking. That can lead to them learning by the Spirit of the truth, by the Spirit of truth, if that's our goal. It can get out of hand and they're just talking to talk and there's not a whole lot of spiritual learning happening. Same thing with students who might be very quiet. You can use introspection and say, okay, I can see we're not really talking today, so I want you to go into your scriptures, grab your journal, look at this, and I want you to write a response to yourself about whatever. Whatever it is, invitations. There's a section in the Gospel Teaching and Learning Handbook about appropriate invitations that I think if we could get better at making these, an invitation is an opportunity for a student to open their heart through participation. If you have a student, and we talked about it last month, but I've just seen it over and over and over, if we can get students saying yes to the small things, will you hand out the hymn books? Will you get your scriptures out? Will you read this scripture? Get them saying yes to the little things, it's more likely that they'll say yes to the big things. They've got to get the momentum of learning by the Spirit of truth going. Because you know how it works the opposite direction. When it's some other way and that momentum gets going, it is hard to ring it back in. If it's a lot of energy on their part, or if it's just nobody saying anything at all. But to learn by the Spirit of truth. And that's how I know when I've taught a good lesson is I walk out thinking, I'm edified. That doesn't happen unless teacher and learner are both willing to do it by the Spirit of truth. Some days you're going to walk out thinking, man, that was a great lesson. You're going to feel really good about things. Other days you're going to walk out thinking, ugh, that was like a C minus at best. And guess what? It's not all on you. you're half the equation. Maybe not even half the equation. You're like 35%. There are a lot of other beings of agency in there who have a lot to say about whether the Spirit of Truth happens or not. And if we can rejoice and be edified together by the Spirit of Truth, it'll go a long way to helping students not just hear church things, but be nourished. And whether they know it or not, that's what we're all looking for, to be nourished by the good word of God. So God bless you as you do that. And again, I wish I could say this is exactly how you do it, but as you prepare lessons, just keep this in mind. Am I doing it to petition, to have the Spirit there, or is it some other way? If it's this, then you've done your part. And my experience has been the more I can do of this, students usually respond pretty well. I share that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's 8:33.